How many has a sword in your hand, or a sword in the pew, or bring a sword? The scriptures are called the sword. The sword. I brought it. I'm ready to fight enemies. I'm ready to fight. You know, as I think about this, I entitled this an Easter message of resurrection celebration. I was thinking, you know, this is the celebration of the greatest event in the history of mankind. It is the greatest event ever known to man. It's not the day, but it's the celebration of the day, the third day, the resurrection of Christ. It's not that men had not rose from the dead before, but we'll talk about it in a little bit. But there's something very, very special about that, because most men that are raised from the dead, or in the Bible days when that happened, they end up dying again. Jesus said, I was dead, but now I'm alive and live forevermore. It was a great, great resurrection. And it was a wonderful, miraculous thing that Jesus predicted would happen. And it was still kind of hard for the disciples to accept that this really did occur. That this was going to, and Jesus would stand there on his 33 years of ministry and stand there and say, this is what's going to happen. And yet, it was just interesting and very difficult to believe. So we're going to look at this together. We're going to first read some scriptures. And I want to say something just before I speak. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we are in the New Testament. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts. And then in 1 Corinthians, Romans. And then you'll find 1 Corinthians. There's two books there, and that's why it's called First. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll read these verses. But, you know, as I studied and pondered for this message this morning, I was thinking, have you ever seen on like American Idol or The Voice, there's times the judges say to the singer, that was really good. But there are just times when the melody and the writer of the song and the inspiration of that song is best just left alone. It's best left to the songwriter. It's best left to the melody that it was written in. And once in a while, as he said, they say it's good to make it your own. But once in a while, he said, it's best left alone. And the reason it come to be like that is this is an Easter morning where I can't add a special flair to the special story. It is really special, and it's left standing alone. So this morning isn't going to be like something, you know, really unusual, but the story itself is simply amazing. It's not amazing because I'm saying it. It's amazing because year after year, we get to think about it, and we get to hear it, and it's as good as it gets. So let's look at this together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Says, for I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Slip down to verse 16 and 17. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. We find that today we really do declare and believe, and we're gathered together today to believe in this Christian realm that we live in, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that he's not only risen, but he's alive, and that he lives forevermore, and that he declared himself alive to many people in that day. He wanted to show himself real. Jesus could have resurrected and went immediately to heaven, but he did not. He didn't. He wanted people to know, this is really me. I'm the Christ. So it validates, the resurrection validates that Jesus of Nazareth is God's unique Son. He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But during his life and ministry, Jesus revealed his unique person, not only by the marvelous words that fell from his lips, but by the miraculous words that came from his hands and from his works. and words. He talked as no man ever talked. His disciples came to believe that he was more than just a man, and he was more than just a prophet. People can't deny that this man, Christ Jesus, lived, even if they are agnostics, even if they don't believe in that he was the Messiah. People cannot believe that he didn't exist. They know he existed, but some just believe he's a good teacher. He's a good prophet. So what sets our religion, what sets our thoughts apart from the religions of the world? We believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the coming one that would die, rise again, and give his life as a Lamb of God, slain so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. Wow, what a difference. Peter spoke for them that they would confess their faith in the resurrection of Christ and declare that he was the Son of God. You know, sometimes you and I get used to this, so it's a commonality to you and I. But you know, in the world, there are hundreds of religions. It's not commonality. Saying Jesus is the Son of God is just, you know, oh, wow, that's pretty common. But for many thousands and tens of thousands and probably millions across the globe, this is not accepted or it's not even known. So it's a unique thing. God's given us the ability and the Word of God to bring shed light into our hearts that we can believe that on this Christ, that we can believe on him. The resurrection gives us an intercessor in the presence of God. Because of Jesus, we now can walk into the throne of God, not literally, but in our spirit, in our hearts, in our prayers, we can walk before the throne of God. It's marvelous. It's marvelous to be able to do that. And you know, you can pray with your eyes open or your eyes closed, but you know, sometimes there's just something about closing your eyes. It eliminates distractions. It eliminates those that are around us. See, I can't see you. I can't see you. See, when you close your eyes, you eliminate distractions. And you can get your mind solely on him. You can get your mind completely on the Lord. And if you want to close your eyes, you can eliminate me too. It works both ways. But Jesus had a ministry of saying, follow me, follow me. And you know, those simple words, follow me, continues on into today. He is looking for us to follow him. And he gives us a path to follow him. He gives us a way to follow him. He gives us the need to follow him. Don't you just feel the need? Sometimes I feel like I need him. I need this Christ. I need somebody. I need as a role model. We're needy people. We're flesh and blood. If you cut me, I bleed. If we hit our elbow on the wall or hit our stub or toe, man, it hurts. You know, we're just flesh and blood. So we need something that is not. We need a supernatural power. We need this resurrection Christ in our lives to do a work in our spirit. And he takes us forward. He takes us on. We communicate with him. In the scriptures, there's a story. I'm not sure if it's well known, but it's very clearly written in the book of Luke, chapter 24. If you were to look in the book of Luke, you would find Jesus talking to a couple of men after the resurrection. After the resurrection. On the day of resurrection, two followers of Christ who believed in Christ was walking to a place called Emmaus. It was a city they were walking to, and Jesus began to walk with them. All of a sudden, Christ appeared. He walks with them, and they didn't know that this was the resurrection Christ. When he listened, the strangers were a little surprised that this man, who had just suddenly kind of started walking with them, knew about the resurrection. So they went on. They talked about it. They talked about this powerful prophet, this wonderful man, Christ Jesus, who they believed to be the prophet, but now he had met a horrible and bitter end. And that as he was walking, and you know, I think about this and I think it's not just that this little story and this little happening was just for that those two men. There's stories and there's things that happen that God wanted to happen so that you and I could receive insight, so that you and I could have the story, so you could, I can understand that this resurrection Christ was walking with just, you know, common folks and saying, here I am. Wow. They were talking about this. They believed in the Messiah, but they also knew that he was crucified 3 days ago and he met a horrible and an awful end. And they thought that was the end. So after Jesus, you know, listened to them and let them unload their grief and sorrow, Jesus begins to solve their mystery. How's he going to do that? He walked with them all the way to the town that they were going to. And he sat down with them and he blessed and broke bread with them. And as he did that, suddenly they realized this was the Christ. Oh, my goodness. This was the one that had died. This was the one that had delivered himself up on the cross to be given as a lamb slain. The ultimate blood sacrifice, the sinless one. This was him. Here we've been walking along the road and didn't realize it. They recognized it, and as soon as they realized that this was the Christ, Jesus vanished. He had the ability to walk through walls. I know it sounds strange. It sounds like Superman, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like something really out of a fantasy book. But this is the God that we serve. It's not normal. God's not normal. He's supernormal. It's not natural. He's supernatural. God. He can do what he pleases to do. And he wanted to reveal himself. And that's what why God wants to reveal himself to you and I. He's not just another God. He's a God that has eyes that can see. He's a God that has ears that can hear. He's a God that can move. He's a God that feels. He's a God that's touched. You can move God. You can move God. You can move him with faith. You can move him with your words. You can move him. Say, God, this is what I need, but this is what I'm believing for. So we find that God can, he can do, Jesus wanted to reveal himself, and he did. Is he revealing himself to you? Do you feel like you really have that revelation? If you don't, it's real. I heard a man say once, you can't talk a man out of an experience. And that's what you experience. You experience a heavenly being. Yeah, experience a heavenly flow. It's in your heart. You feel it. It's not anything anyone just says to you. You go to him and you feel it. It's inside. And it moves you. And it moves your heart. Did you ever get excited and your heart just beats? I often think, once in a while, I enjoy watching those shows like like something like bull riding. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they have the nerve to get on an 1,800-pound bull. I have a lot of nerve. But do you think I'm going to get on an 1,800-pound bull? No way. My heart would be pounding out of my chest. And this is what God says. All the things that transpire on earth, everything that you can get excited about, I'm above it all. I want you to be excited. Some say, wow, you sure talk about the joy of the Lord a lot. Yeah, I won't talk about it anymore. It's over. It's done. I just won't. I can't help it. I have a bad case of, they say in the West Virginia, I have a bad case of can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. He moves. He changes lives. He does miraculous things. He resurrects from the dead. Man, that's more exciting than the Steelers football game. And I was there. I was there. Yeah, it was so cold. I said to my wife, I said, if there's any more games after the holiday of Thanksgiving, I ain't sitting in those bleachers anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So this is a wonderful day. It makes Christianity different. We are different because of the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. He was raised again nearly 2,000 years ago. What a marvelous experience. The two Marys, they happen to have the same name. They went to the tomb to finish embalming and you know, they were going to get spices and things, and they wanted to, you know, take care of this special prophet, the special man that they believed to be the Son of God. They wanted to give him a special anointing, so they brought, you know, their spices. They bought some expensive oils and spices, and they were really going to do it up, take care of him. And when they got to there, they found this huge stone, because they didn't want anyone stealing this body, so they put a huge stone in front of the tomb. I had the fortunate experience of being there in 1975. I took a Holy Land tour while I was still single, and my pockets did jingle. Now it's different. It's different now, but you know, back when I was 21, working at General Electric. Lonnie, would you say a special prayer for me today? Woo! I need it. I was so blessed to be able to have a good job, and I ended up signing up for this 10-day Holy Land tour, and I feel so blessed to be able to stand before you today and say, I was there. I was there at the Hill of Golgotha and saw they reinforced it with some brick, and there was the tomb, and I literally walked into where he lay. And at one time, they used to allow you to lay down on the on the stone where he lay, but because so many did that, it began to have a concave and begin to wear away. So they put bars there so you could only see. But I was there, and you know what? That's what Mary and Mary found that morning. They went there, the stone was rolled away, and they were like scared. They were scared that somebody had come and stolen this body. And what did they do? They listened to what? The angel. God said, sent an angel and said, listen, the man that you know is not here. He was dead, but fear not. Don't be afraid, for he's risen and he's alive. And Jesus declared those marvelous words that we've heard probably dozens and dozens of times in our life. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And the difference between it all, I'm alive forevermore. And I want you to know, when Jesus resurrected, he could have, and he did have an immortal body. He could have had a body that was fully healed. But you know what? He came into his disciples and he said, Thomas, look at my hands, look at my feet. He chose to be resurrected in a body that someday you and I, when we're in the great, glorious, different seventh realm heaven, can look and behold our Savior, and he can hold his hands out. And he chose not to be healed. He chose to let us see for all eternity that he did allow himself to be crucified for you and I, that we could receive forgiveness of sin. My Lord, he allowed himself not to even be healed. He could have bodily been healed, but he allowed himself. He wanted you to see. He wanted me to know. He wants you to know that he's resurrected from the dead. And we celebrate that. It's a celebration. What a marvelous thing. There's hope. The stone is rolled away. And it gives us great hope. It gives us hope of eternity. It gives us hope of certainty. It gives us hope of forgiveness. It gives us hope of peace. It gives us hope of assurance. And it gives us hope of heaven. A hope that is final. A hope that is eternal. A hope of everlasting life that is job security. You're job secure. You don't have to worry about laid off. You don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about the underworld And even when we sin, it says we have an advocate for the Father. We are believers. And if you're not, after hearing this message, I hope that you would like to be. Because it's a marvelous thing to be able to go through this life with our ups and downs. I'd say so many times, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. Dave, do you ever feel like life is on a roller coaster? It is. I know. I live it. I work a full-time job. I'm just human like everyone else. And life sometimes feels like a roller coaster. But you know what? When that roller coaster stops, we have eternal hope. We have an eternal destiny. And we choose to go there. We choose to believe it. Because Jesus rolls away the stone. Only a supernatural rolling away the stone. And he can roll away discouragement. He can roll away dread. He can roll away your doubt. He can roll away our human frailties. He can roll away our defeat. Because he rolled away death, hell, and the grave. And he rose. And he rose victorious. He rose victorious. So we have a message this morning that's everlasting hope. Don't forget it. Believe it. And I'm so thankful. I live in a world in my heart of gratitude because I believe it. I believe in a resurrected Christ that is just amazing that he would do that for you and I. On a Friday, there's a different kind of a message. I mean, you know, the death, but we're talking this morning of the celebration of a resurrected Christ that lives forever and he doesn't die ever. He lives forevermore. So we have a hope. The psalmist said, my hope is in you. My hope, O God, you are my trust from my youth. You are my trust from the moment I believe. From the moment I believe. You can believe at any age. You can believe it at any place. And it can change your life. How awesome is that? Praise God. Praise God. I hope you're enlightened this morning. I hope you're encouraged this morning. I'm so glad for each one of you. Paul, thank you for being here. Sandy, thank you for being here. All of you, I wish I could name them all. Thank you for being here. I just appreciate every single one of you, and I just hope that you'll go today realizing, even in a greater way, that the resurrection has changed our lives, and we believe. That's why you're called believers.